You know, there comes a certain point in reading this passage from Exodus where I have to kind of stop and ask the question, how long does it take to defeat an Amalek? I mean, God told them that they have to go to the Promised Land. They have been led out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea, and now they stand between a rock and a hard place, or more specifically, an Amalek and a Red Sea. They have to go through. Not that God justifies violence, I'm not trying to write any of these things off, but they have to go through. God promises them that they'll go through, tells Joshua to pick out men, Joshua goes through, picks out certain men, goes forth. They did everything according to the plan. They did everything as they were instructed, they did everything the way that they know they're supposed to do, they were faithful to the promise, and it still takes all day to do this. How long does it take to beat the guy? I mean, it's one of those curiosities for me. Just, you know, Moses goes to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. Him? No, Hur, but not Hur. Hur. Is it very clear? Excellent. And there he stands with his arms raised. I don't know if you ever tried to stand on a hill and raise your arm for a long time, but trust me, you try to do this all day, you're going to get tired fast. It's very exhausting, and he's holding the staff in hand and everything. Those things aren't lightweight, and there's this genuine expectation that as we do what we're supposed to do with God, we think, you know, I'm faithful to my prayers, I'm doing what I'm supposed to, I'm following the moral law, I'm doing all these things. What's taking so long? Well, sometimes it takes our patience. It takes all day. It takes that dedication. It takes this commitment to staying faithful to it no matter how long it takes. This reminder to us that even with all of the assurances, even with all the promises, even with this great promise that God is with them, these things take time. As we pray, as we ask God for something, as we continue to offer our prayers, never underestimate that our prayer may not be answered right away because God has a bigger plan and it's going to take time. It takes time for our prayer to be formed by God, so that we might learn to sharpen our prayers, so we might have a more specific thing that we're praying for, so that we realize what it is that we're asking for from God. And then as we focus our prayer and sharpen these things, then we allow God that time to unfold it for ourselves. It all is contained within this great challenge of how long does this stuff take? It's right there in the gospel. This great expectation that he teaches us to pray always without becoming weary. I can't imagine doing anything without becoming weary. If you ever spend time with a 5-year-old, you know, praying always seems suddenly a lot easier because an hour with a 5-year-old and I can become weary. You know, it's one of those exhausting moments that it takes all of our effort to try and keep up with some of the activities of our day, and yet we have this great commission to pray always without becoming weary. And personally, I'd kind of like to see the widow take a swing at the judge just for fun's sake, but aside from that, there's this great reminder that we need to stay faithful in these things. And we're always crying out to God that there's this great necessity for us to do this. And what does it take? Well, I often get approached by people who say that they don't have time to pray. And I'm curious about that. They talk about, you know, a lack of time to pray, or they're not praying enough, or there's this great challenge of getting in that prayer. And I, at a certain point, have to ask, what block of time are we waiting for this mystical prayer we're never going to have? How large a piece of time do we need in order to ensure that we're going to have this big mystical prayer that we're never going to have? I suppose it comes back to one of those questions, how are we considering our prayer? And what are we doing in that prayer? How is our prayer coming together? How are we really expressing this great cry to God? How are we doing these things? Well, I encourage people to always look to the great doctor of prayer. In church, declared one of the saints a doctor of prayer. Her work is exemplary among the works on prayer. We've celebrated her feast day just earlier this week, St. Teresa of Avila. She's a doctor of prayer. You ever read her writings? She doesn't write textbooks. She doesn't write science books. She writes personal reflections. She's the preeminent doctor of prayer, and she writes in reflections. What does that tell us about our prayer? Well, it reminds us that our prayer is a conversation with God, and that whatever we're doing, speaking to God, however we're spending that time talking to God, trying to convey both what we're looking for in life and what God is trying to look for in our life, that this is the conversation that we should be having with God. And that anytime we do this, whether it's a formal prayer, which are beautiful and have their place, or an informal prayer where we simply make some cry to God, that all of this has to be this communication with Him. We must never underestimate that our prayer has to be a conversation. That is to say, both sides get to talk. You know, it's one thing to give a monologue and to come up and just speak for a while and then head out, but there's no reception from that. Our prayer has to be that conversation. It can't simply be that quick list of demands. You know, we can't come in and go, well, God, today I'm going to really need this, and I need this, and I really need help with that, and I'm worried about this, and that's all I really can do right now in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, bye, God. It almost sounds like a terrorist demand, you know? You're just like, I want this, this, and this, and you're going to give me these things, or I'm going to stop believing in God, and I'm just going to move on with that. You know, our prayer has to become more than that. It has to become something more fruitful. It has to become something more developed than just a short, quick list of, I need this now, and you need to come through for me. We need the time to listen as well. We need that time of quiet that's going to give God that chance to try and add something to the conversation. And I know it's hard to wait in the silence, and I know there's a lot of difficulties, and there's plenty of other things going on in our mind, and there's lots of distractions. There's any number of things we could be thinking about. But we have to give God that moment. Even if we give Him little moments throughout the day, we have to give God that moment. That's that invitation from praying always without becoming weary. You know, I look at this, and I actually think about when I go home to visit these days. And a lot of times when I go home to visit, I'll either sit at my parents' computer or I'll sit at the dining room table and I'll be working on something. But my mother and my father, they'll be nearby. And it's interesting because we can pick up a conversation at any point. We think of something and then we start talking about it. And then the conversation slowly winds down and we go back into quiet. And then one of them will think of something and they'll bring that up and we'll talk about that for a little while. And then the conversation will wind down and slowly become quiet. And we have to allow this. You know, it may take 4 hours to have a conversation with my parents, but it's just because we're allowing these things to sort of naturally flow on themselves. I didn't come in with a quick written down list of, you know, I need to talk about this, and I need to talk about this, and I need to talk about this, and then, you know, then I got to run out because then that's it. But it's this open, constant, regular conversation. It's got to be the same way with God. It's that challenge for us to find those moments to be close to God. And if we find ourselves saying, well, I'm too busy, or I don't know if I'm going to find, you know, I don't know how to build that time in, I'm always so focused on so many other things, I want to challenge you to consider that our prayer can become those moments of in-between. We might say, well, I'm too busy, I'm in a meeting right now, I can't pray right now. But what about right before the meeting? What about right after the meeting? Well, I can't, I'm on my way to this thing right now. Can we say a couple prayers in the car? Well, I got to do this thing right now. I'm very focused. What about right after? And I have a challenge for you. I have a special challenge for you. As we look for these in-between moments, as we seek these times to offer a prayer to God, I want to challenge you. Every time you pick up your phone, before you turn on the screen, offer a quick prayer to God. It doesn't have to be long, it doesn't have to be fancy, it doesn't have to be wordy. Just something to remind ourselves that we're still praying with God. Every time you pick up your phone. I was at a digital media church conference this past Friday, and they said that the average person now sends at least about 30 texts in a day. And I thought, I sent 30 texts before 9 o'clock this morning, but sure, I'm sure someone out there is sending 30 texts a day. We have our phones with us. Mine's attached to my hip almost constantly. There's this constant reminder that we have this communication. We're communicating to everyone else through text message and voicemail and all of these other messages that are going through our phone. Why can't it be a reminder for God as well? And maybe you're not like me. Maybe you don't check your phone 4, 5, 6 times an hour. But, you know, there are plenty of opportunities for us to pause and consider that simple time with God. And that through that regular prayer, through that constant communication, through that praying always without ceasing, you might be surprised how much you begin to hear God as well in your life.